coming out of the twin disasters of 2017 and early 2018, we realized all of the public service organizations and government agencies, too, sort of realized the gaps where we were not really ready for unexpected and unanticipatable, you know, disasters. That debris flow was something we had no way to anticipate or get ready for. So we really realized in kind of regrouping and trying to serve the public and the community after that, that there were some core things that we all in the community needed to work on in order to be better prepared moving forward, because we live in a zone that's earthquake prone, fire prone, flood prone. So this stuff is going to happen and we needed to be ready. So the first thing we thought of to do at the food bank was to convene as many of the players as we could in emergency response, first response, and then as a food bank is considered a second responder. So all the agencies that will help with longer term recovery as opposed to just search and rescue on the spot right after a disaster. So we did. We got those people together. We brought in, there was a speaker from FEMA. We had national level emergency response government representatives, state level, county level, local city level people from the government response agencies. We had first responders. So we had fire, you know, medical, all kinds of stuff like that. And then we had education, nonprofit, the whole nonprofit sector was represented. So the food bank has a network of 300 partner organizations that we work with to provide food to the people that those organizations serve. So we have a huge network already in place. We convened many of those. And so in part, it was just about really building relationships. That was the core thing we realized we needed to do.
And I was invited as a member of local media, and there was other media there mm-hmm. as well. And you mentioned that you had a representative from FEMA there, the Federal Emergency Management Administration. And what stuck with me about from his talk was that he encouraged attendees to build a culture of preparedness here in Santa Barbara. And being prepared, he suggested that people who have the means to prepare, to get insurance and to get backup food and backup supplies, and then that way FEMA and the other agencies will be able to help those who don't have the means right now to prepare ahead of time.
Yeah, that was a key thing for me, too, when he talked about being as insured as you can be, that being well insured then also will expedite any help that you might be able to get from FEMA. So it's sort of like preparation for not just surviving a disaster, but being able to get the help you need as quickly as possible should something happen on a larger scale. So that was sort of like the individual things people can do to be ready.
Yeah, and I would love, here on KCSB, I would love to develop a show if anyone's interested in participating and talking about different aspects of being prepared for community, because for being prepared in our community, because the more we talk about it and normalize it, and the more that's on people's minds, then the more that we're going to be thinking about what if and what to do just in case, and maybe making a family plan, like for if the big one hits when the kids are at school and others are at work, how do we know that each other is safe? And you brought up a lot of points when we broke into small groups at this 25th hour one-day training, such as in the event of a big earthquake, which was a mock scenario, mm-hmm. we might not have cell service, but we might be able to send a short text. So if the family has a place where they're going to meet, then they already have that plan in place ahead of time.
Yeah, communicating as much as possible ahead of time so that everybody knows what to do is helpful, because that was something that people really were caught off guard by, is cell reception, cell access was just shut down. And this conference was about organizational level and countywide community level stuff, but everything that came out of this really does apply on the family and household level. So that communication piece is a huge one.
And you can read the findings, the big takeaways from this conference at the food bank's website, foodbanksbc.org. Take a look at that. So this was the first time I was introduced to VOAD, Voluntary Organizations Active in Disaster. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. The food bank is the financial sponsor of this organization, and it's made up of a whole bunch of local and larger scale nonprofit organizations that act as second responders. And this is sort of a core communication hub for all of that. So there's planning that goes on throughout the year with VOAD. So we definitely want to grow the organization as much as possible. Direct Relief is in there. United Way and Red Cross. Those are, you know, they're United Way, Red Cross, Direct Relief. So there's a lot of major players in disaster response involved in VOAD. And the more members that can be involved, the better we'll be able to communicate in case of a big disaster.
So are you, would a smaller nonprofit benefit through being involved?
Absolutely, because part of VOAD is making sure that we have all of our bases covered and we don't engage in any unnecessary duplication. So VOAD participation is going to help everybody know what everybody else's core competencies are so that we don't overlap in ways that are not helpful and don't leave any gaps that need to be filled.
Well, and it's really helpful to get to know who the other key people are in, you know, organizations similar to your role before the disaster, because working together, you know, you're on a more familiar level. So it looks like there's an email, voadsantabarbaraco@gmail.com. Is that for someone in a nonprofit who wants to get involved? That's voadsantabarbaraco@gmail.com. And also you could get in touch with Judith here at foodbanksbc.org. So one of the takeaways with VOAD was to be prepared ahead of time with any news releases, any kind of emergency information you would be giving out in the event of disaster. Write that information up now, not after the disaster when you're going, what? And you may not even have power, right?
Right. There was a lot of experiences with public information officers in the Thomas disasters and after the debris flow where we learned a lot and we all had to do everything on the fly. So people were up at night writing press releases every night to keep people updated on changes. And now we can use those things as templates. So the idea is to be ready so that you don't have to make everything from scratch, do all your communicating from scratch. We learned a lot on the flying by the seat of our pants during and after those disasters.
So did you, in your position with the food bank, were you working in the Joint Information Center or the OEM answering phone calls during the Thomas fires and debris flow?
No, we weren't in the JIC, but we were at our office sending stuff over. So we weren't trying to keep physical space open over there, but we were, you know, communicating with county OEM staff hourly. And we were involved in the daily TV updates. And so they have lots of things in place.
Came together. That was really helpful for me as media because everyone left town here at UCSB. They canceled finals. So our student staff went home and we're here, you know, with the smoky skies. And I was here trying to get a 5 o'clock newscast out every day. And that 4 o'clock news conference daily became our newscast because we were able to edit a half an hour of the most important information and pass it right along to our listeners. So that was really efficient, an efficient way of getting the word out.
Yeah, I think that was one of the huge great things that the county emergency staff did was pull that together because it was a place that the whole community knew every day. That's where I can go to listen, and you could get it online, you could watch it on TV, you could show up at San Marcos High School. It was a really beautiful response. It kept everybody kind of together.
So Judith Smith Meyer with the Food Bank Santa Barbara County, are you planning any more 25th hour training events or what's next? You've got the results from what you learned. What's the next step?
Yeah, so we published this white paper with the learnings from the conference, but we do have other parts. We have developed a 5-point disaster plan, preparedness plan. So the summit was one of them. This conference was one. We also have the disaster food box program because as the food bank, our primary goal is to keep everybody nutritionally healthy through disaster. So we have a disaster food box program where people can buy one. It's shelf stable for 25 years. It'll feed one person for an entire week with just added water. And then for anybody who purchases one, we donate one to a family that's either low income or in need who can't buy one for themselves. We really want to be sure everybody, if we come to a sheltering in place situation, like in the debris flow, that people have what they need to be healthy, staying in their homes and not having access to food. And then we're also buying new trucks. Unfortunately, we had a truck accident last fall, but that did put in motion some things that are enabled us to buy a new truck. The Women's Fund of Santa Barbara County funded a new truck for us because having refrigerated trucks, we found, is a way if our warehouse, if we lose power at our warehouses, we can really keep fresh food stable for longer and reduce spoilage and get the food out to people. So investing in a good new fleet of trucks is something that we're doing. We're also working on developing more volunteers, and this was part of something that came out of the conference as well. Just having volunteers ready to run food distributions kind of on the spot if we have needs, and we couldn't get our trucks and food down to Carpinteria during the debris flow. So we need to have people in all of these locations around the county. We're working to develop that. And then just continuing to educate the community about healthy nutrition and how to eat healthfully on any budget. So the people we deal with have limited access to food because of financial concerns. In the case of a disaster, people might have limited access to food for a number of other reasons. So we really want to be sure that everybody in the county is educated on how to stay healthy in times of limited resources. So we're working on that.
That's awesome. That's important to all the way around. Here at UCSB, they do the basic food skills training, because if you can buy the ingredients fresh, you need to know what to do with them to turn them into a meal. So that's wonderful. All right, Judith Smith-Meyer, anyone interested in finding out more about any of the things we talked about, I'll send them to foodbanksbc.org, and they could look you up as well.
Excellent. I'm there. We're all there. You're welcome anytime.
I'm Lisa Osborne for KCSB News.